Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our Good Friday service here at Faith Bible Church. This is a unique service in which we reflect on and meditate on the suffering, the betrayal, and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And this unique service is one in which is just filled with primarily just the reading of scriptures. We read from various passages, 11 total, that either predict and prophesy the betrayal, the suffering, and the death of the Messiah, or it's an actual passage recounting those events that happened to Jesus. And so with each of the 11 readings that we read, after each one of them, we will extinguish one of the candles. We will also progressively dim the lights. And this is symbolic of the darkness, the cloud of judgment closing in around Jesus. It says in the word that from 12 o'clock to 3 p.m., darkness enclosed the entire area. And so the dimming of the lights, the extinguishing of the candles is representing of that. And it's representing also that the light of the world is for the moment being extinguished. And so this is a very solemn and powerful service, but it is one that is worthy of our reflection because it is from it that salvation was secured for us. And so in order to prepare our hearts for this time of worship, and yes, this is a time of worship. It might be solemn. It might be reflective of Jesus' death and crucifixion. It is still a time of worship. Because this is when we remember what Christ did on our behalf in order to save us. So in order to enter us into this time of worship, I'll be reading from Psalm 63, and I invite you to rise as I read from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live in your name. I will lift up my hands. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, you are our God, and we earnestly seek you. Oh God, we need you. We long for you. Our bodies ache for you. Our souls thirst for you, for more of you, God. Pray, God, that you would fix our attention and our gaze upon your Son. That whatever is weighing us down currently, whatever is preoccupying our mind, that, Father, that we would focus on Christ. Give us humble hearts this evening, God. Humble hearts that are thirsty and longing for you. We love you, our King, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Remain standing, church. We're going to sing one song together, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the
Seated.
The plot against the Lord anointed. A reading from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst these bonds apart and cast their cords away. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. The Lord will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. The kings of the earth
set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
I
The plot against the Lord's anointed. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners and deserted by his disciples. A reading from Matthew 26, 36 through 56. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. See the hour.
The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
The pain of betrayal and the encroaching darkness. A reading from Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear
to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You've put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call out to you. O Lord, I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. You have caused my companions
to shun me. You have laid your heart to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eyes close in.
Matthew 26:57-68. The trial, condemnation, and mocking of the Christ, the Son of God. A reading from Matthew 26:57-68. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" He committed no
sin. Neither was the seed found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not Son of Man unashamedly follows the will of the Father, even in suffering. A reading from Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 10. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. My Father, if it is possible,
let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
In the darkness, the Christ puts his trust in the Father. A reading from Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for a man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime, will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. When I
am afraid, I put my trust in you.
The Son of Man is pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. A reading from Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. So shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. In his love,
not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
The Son of Man is crucified. A reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the Christ, the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Amen.
He poured out
Son of Man bears the wrath of God for the sins of his people. A reading from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy, though I call and cry for help. He shuts out my prayer.
The Son of God is forsaken by the Father. A reading from Psalm 22, 1 through 19. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you are fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of wild evil doers encircles me, and they have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off, for you, my help, come quickly to my aid. For our sake,
you made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Christ suffered and died to rescue his people. A reading from Hebrews chapter 2, 9 through 18. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every aspect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. For Christ also suffered once for sins,
the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Well, Good Friday is a day of solemn reflection. It's a day in which we particularly remember how Jesus was rejected, suffered, and was killed for the sins of his true followers. Not for his own sins because he was sinless, but rather for the sins of all true believers. We are reminded that God the Son left the throne room of heaven and came down to earth to be a man of sorrows. Tonight I want to reflect on one of the passages that we read earlier, namely Isaiah 52:12 through 52:13 to 53:12. My goal in this time of reflection is not to make everyone gloomy and sad, but rather that it would drive you to deeper dependence on Christ and to worship him more intently all the days of your life.
Amen.
And so I begin our reflection on Isaiah 52 and 53 with an honest assessment of every single human being that has ever walked the earth apart from Jesus. And that assessment is that we have all rejected God's perfect rule and have instead sinfully walked in our own ways. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We have all voluntarily gone our own way instead of following the way that God has commanded us to walk. And that is called iniquity or transgression or sin. We are all guilty for our wayward, worldly wandering from God's perfect word, will, and way. The just and righteous punishment for our sinful wandering from the infinitely holy God is to eternally suffer the wrath of God. If we go before God, the righteous judge of the universe, with just one sin, one iniquity that is not paid for in full, he will rap the gavel and pronounce guilty. Sentenced to eternal damnation. And he would be right and just to do so for our God-belittling sins. I must make this explicitly clear. Humanity is not generally good people who sometimes make mistakes. Rather, we are inherently sinful, as in it is our natural inclination to rebel against God. This is the natural default state of all of humanity. And one of the biggest problems in deceptions is that humanity has done an awfully good job of rationalizing their sin so that it's not a big deal. We think of our sin as a small thing, but it is no small thing. It is a transgression against the infinitely holy, infinitely powerful God who created the whole universe and who sustains every molecule in the universe every nanosecond of the day. One tiny little sin against the Lord God Almighty is infinitely wicked and is deserving of eternal damnation. So that's the first thing I want to gather from this reflection on Isaiah 52 and 53. We have wandered from God's perfect ways and therefore have sinned against him, and sin demands God's unquenching wrath to be poured out on us. Which leads to our next observation, that Jesus was slaughtered in our place to save us. Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven in order to save his disciples from God's wrath toward their sin. Jesus himself, though sinless, would take the sins of true believers on himself and endure the infinite wrath that God had reserved toward those sins. And this would not be easy or painless for Jesus. He could not just snap his fingers and then poof, all of the sins would be paid for, would be gone. No, Jesus would have to brutally suffer in the place of his true believers, his true followers, whom he was dying for. Just listen again to a few verses from Isaiah, which was prophesied about the Messiah. And remember that Isaiah wrote these things 700 years before Jesus was even born. Isaiah 52 verse 14 says that his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, meaning that he was so badly and brutally beaten that he was hardly recognizable. Isaiah 53:4 says that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5 says that he was pierced for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities. Verse 6 says that the Lord God laid upon him the iniquity or the sins of us all. And verse 7 says that he was oppressed, afflicted, and like a lamb, he was slaughtered. The eternal, everlasting, all-powerful God the Son was slaughtered like a common animal. And yet, his suffering was not an accident, nor was it purposeless. Rather, Jesus suffered in this manner and was slaughtered for our sins. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God took on all of the sins of his true followers, and in doing so, he effectively said, "I'll stand in their place. I'll bear the punishment that they deserve. I'll endure the infinite wrath of God reserved for their sins so that they will not have to." And the result of his sacrificial death in the place of true believers is that he opened up the way, the only way, to be saved from the wrath of God. Through Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, he appeased God's wrath toward our sin and therefore saved his people from God and his wrath. Listen to these verses from Isaiah 53. 53 verse 5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." Verse 11 of the same chapter says, "By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. True believers receive peace with God and are healed spiritually and are counted righteous because of Jesus, who was pierced for our transgressions and slaughtered for our sins. Jesus suffered and was slaughtered to save us. And the final observation I want to reflect on is God the Father's hand in all of this. Listen to what verse 10 of Isaiah 53 says. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Sinful humanity did not thwart God's original plan to save his people, which resulted in God having to go to plan B. Satan did not usurp God's sovereign authority and cause God to pivot and take this action instead against his son. No, the plan from before the foundation of the world, before the world was even created, before there was a speck of dust, God's plan was to send God the Son to become the man of sorrows, who would be sacrificially slaughtered in place of all true believers. It was the will, the predestined, ordained plan of the Lord Yahweh to crush his son. Sending Jesus to suffer and die on the cross by the hands of sinful man was part of God's definite plan and foreknowledge, as it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. It was indeed the will of Yahweh to crush him. This is the way, the only way, the triune God from before the foundation of the world planned to save sinful, rebellious people. God the Father would send his only beloved Son to be a man of sorrows who would bear our sin and suffer the wrath that we deserved. And God knew that this would kill his beloved Son. Yet for the magnification of his name and for his glory, it was the will of God to demonstrate his love for his wayward, wandering sheep and crush the Son in order to save his sheep and bring them back home. When you really believe this reality, it leads you to worship and depend on Christ even more. Your heart yearns to burst out and sing how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. The wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross. My sin, your sin, upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin. It was my sin that held him to the cross. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. his dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Therefore, I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds, his sacrifice, his death, his abandonment, has paid my ransom. And so if you are a believer, I pray that as you spend time reflecting on the events of Good Friday, that it would lead you into deeper worship, deeper delight, deeper dependence on Christ. And not just on Good Friday, but all the days of your life. And if you're here this evening and you're not sure if you're a believer, I pray that the events of Good Friday will convict you of the reality of your situation. That without faith in Christ, you will bear God's condemnation for your sins on your own, and you will not be able to stand. But if you repent and trust in Christ as the one who has saved you by dying in your place, you no longer will bear the guilt of your sin, for Jesus would have bore it for you. And instead of hearing the judge of the universe declare guilty, you will hear him say, "No condemnation. Enter into the joy of your master." And so I plead with you, pray and ask God to soften your heart to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't put it off one more day. Ask God to give you faith to believe and trust in Christ. What's so good about Good Friday? The worst day in human history, namely the unjust crucifixion and death of Jesus, was ordained by God to bring about the greatest good, namely salvation for those who believe and receive Christ. May we all behold Jesus upon the cross and trust what he has accomplished. Amen. Let's pray. O gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we reflect on the suffering, betrayal, and death of your Son Jesus, may it lead us to better understand the gravity and the wickedness of our sin. And would that lead us to greater thankfulness of all that he has accomplished on the cross. Holy Spirit, stir in our hearts an even greater affection for Christ. And continue to transform our hearts so that we would worship you, God, more deeply with each passing day. Give us a greater capacity to love you and to embrace the love for which you have for us. Thank you, Jesus, that your sacrificial death on the cross has washed away our sins. May we live each day to glorify and magnify your mighty name. We love you, our Lord and Savior. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we're going to do a few more reader congregational responses. And then I will extinguish the final candle that will represent the death of Christ. Following that, I will close with one last prayer, and then I will process out. You are welcome to stay and pray, and you can leave when you wish. When you do leave, please do so in reverent, reflective silence. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Our Lord, our Savior, and our King. This evening we come to worship you for the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. Would you so be working in our hearts, Lord God, to not frivolously commit to you, but to follow you earnestly all the days of our life. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, knowing that the road ahead is a road marked with sorrow and hardship as we follow you. But one thing we know, and one thing we rejoice, is that you are with us. Help us to look to you and trust you, and worship you, our King. We love you, our Lord, and we pray these things, Christ Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen.